Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 1:05 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 22nd, and we've had some pretty momentous moves in terms of the political environment in here today. Boris Johnson's revised deal has passed Parliament, so that's a major milestone. His timetable for, in fact, pushing it into law was defeated, so he's going to have to go back to the EU and ask for an extension. Then the big question is, when is he going to call an election? And the point, of course, is that he's currently running on a minority government. He obviously has a program that he would like to be able to implement in order to stoke growth, but it doesn't have the numbers. It does suggest that he probably does need to go to the people and ask for a mandate, and that is part of the reason why the pound has been a little bit weaker in here today. Of course, anyone looking at this from the outside is probably going to say, well, what has in fact happened is that this is Theresa May's deal, plus that Northern Ireland has basically been economically excised from the UK. They've put a border down the middle of the Irish Sea, and it's probably a worse deal than Theresa May had negotiated, and yet this is where we are. So when we think about that, then the entire Brexit negotiation process vote has effectively resulted in the UK getting smaller. But now the bigger question is, what is going to be done for the future? What is the UK going to do in order to stoke economic growth, to address some of the inequalities that have been the motive force behind the populist upsurge that resulted in the Brexit referendum in the first place? And that is all still in the future. And then, of course, you have the additional point that the UK used to be an energy exporter, now it's an energy importer, and has to additionally deal with that particular problem. But when we then think about what is it that we can anticipate, well, from the currency at least, it has rebounded pretty impressively. It's back around the 130 area. We may get some consolidation considering the speed of the advance we've had over the course of the last couple of weeks. As long as it's holding the region of the trend mean, I think we're still back on a recovery trajectory. The UK still has positive interest rates, which is a bit of I guess, something that stands out in Europe. And yields have popped back on the upside and just about doubled in the last 3 weeks from 40 to 80 basis points. But when we look at this on a longer term chart, we can see that it is around this 50 basis point level where we start to see resistance coming through in terms of support for the gilt market. There is certainly scope for additional upside in terms of the yields. We've seen a meaningful medium term peak in government bond yields just about everywhere, even when we look at Germany, where we'd had rather extreme negative yields. Then we've had a pretty substantial move on the upside. We have a higher reaction low and a higher high. It's unwound most of the overextension relative to the trend mean. This is looking now much more like a rather significant pullback. When we then think about the price action, and the Bund future is now right in the region of its trend mean. This is really the do-or-die moment. There is obviously scope for additional downside, but it's going to have to at least sustain a move below 170 in order to confirm a peak of more than near-term significance. Then, when we look around the world, there is increasing evidence of social unrest, whether that is in Lebanon, where people have been revolting at the economic conditions, but one of the motive forces behind the 24-hour bug yesterday is really feeling pretty crummy last night and trying to recover from it, so I apologize for the subpar performance. But when we've definitely seen in Lebanon has been obviously a revolt against the mismanagement of the economy by the people in power. But what happened last week was, I think, unique in that people started revolting at the proposal that WhatsApp users would be taxed. Well, that is really a clear sign of just how extreme the budget concerns are. Everywhere else in the world is talking about taxing Facebook and taxing WhatsApp, not the users, and that's obviously part of the problem. Well, when we then look at what's going on in Chile, there's like 10 people dead over the course of the last few days, and people revolting about the cost of living. What's going on in Hong Kong is also, I think, at root cause a revolt about the cost of living. The similarity that we have between Chile and Hong Kong is that they don't have a natural populist outlet in terms of their electoral process for varying reasons, and that is leading to street protests because people don't have the ability to vote for a clear alternative to the status quo. That's a point that John Authors was making. I think it's a well-made point that one of the factors that the populace in fact fulfill is that they are offering an outlet to this revolutionary zeal, and without it, then what we get is a greater risk of property destruction and popular protest. Well, what this also suggests is that this inequality question is a global phenomenon. It's all as a result of the unequal sharing of benefits from the unequal opportunities that arose from globalization and technological innovation. This is something that is going to be debated, I think, at every election in almost every democracy as we move onwards. Now, what we definitely saw in here today was some good news for Brazil. The Brazilian real has rallied reasonably significantly. It's holding the region of this 420 level. And if it can follow through, then we might be able to say that this is a low of medium-term significance. The Brazilian stock market was up another 1,200 points in here today, so it is now at a new all-time high. Part of the reason for that is because the finance minister, Guedes, is pushing through pension reform and pushing through fiscal reform, and that is something certainly that investors are willing to support, and it is a clear bullish phenomenon. This has been one of the most impressive advances of any market over the course of the last 3.5 years. So it's certainly not all bad news in Latin America. When we look at what's going on in terms of the Mexican market, it has been really quite volatile, but it is at least back above the region of the trend mean. There are an increasingly large number of news stories about the deteriorating security situation within the country and the fact that the government forces failed to take, I think it was Chapo Guzman's son in Sinaloa, that they were beaten back by the cartels. Now, when we look at the Mexican peso, it has been range-bound now for nearly 2 years. It's back in the region of the dollar's sequence of higher reaction lows, and we're starting to see some steadiness coming through in the dollar. But there's definitely a narrowing in terms of the volatility of the trading range, and that is not going to last indefinitely. So it is increasingly likely we're going to get a break in either direction at some stage. That's equally true of Bitcoin. Bitcoin doesn't spend a lot of time ranging in such an inert manner, and it has been now going sideways for about 3 weeks. Well, this is almost exactly the same as what we saw back in September. And if the, well, we're right in the region of the trend mean. The one thing we know is that this is an instrument that is prone to a significant amount of volatility, and these periods of inert ranging don't last. Well, considering the trend deterioration that we've seen, and most particularly the example of acceleration that we saw back in June, well, we've subsequently seen the price not quite half, but not far off it either. There's a lot of optionality here because the price is either going to break downwards from this range, pierce the region of the trend mean, and then potentially pull back even more violently and then put in a much lengthier period of support building, or it is going to bounce from here and we're going to get a meaningful push on the upside. One of the things that the bulls are going to be hearkening onto is the fact that there's going to be a halving next year, and the price has generally rallied significantly ahead of that event because of the difficulty in creating new supply. So I do have some sympathy with it, with that view, but it needs to be obviously supported by the price action. On the other hand, there are significant new developments occurring within the space which greatly inhibit the ability of Bitcoin to be able to become the cryptocurrency of choice for commercial applications. One thing that we have seen over the course of the last while has been that ST Microelectronics has now signed a deal with IOTA, and all of its chips will have IOTA enabled technology within them from, I think it's next year. That's a significant rollout of a cryptocurrency type of solution, but IOTA is not Bitcoin. In fact, it is completely different. It's not a blockchain. It's more of a cryptographic algorithm, and it gets stronger the more of it that it gets faster and more secure the more use that is put into it. So it is it completely overcomes the constraints of the blockchain that Bitcoin has. It does have the potential that it's going to be the clearer beneficiary. Well, ST Microelectronics at least has bounced over the course of this year, and it still holds the sequence of higher reaction lows. We've also seen that pushes to new recovery highs have not been sustained. So there is the potential here that we're going to get some pause consolidation, but at least it is trending higher. When we then think about what's going on in terms of the US markets, well, the S&P 500 was in negative territory in here today, but it is right in the region of its peaks, and the trading we've had over the course of the last few weeks has been really not particularly volatile. What is happening, however, is that there is an increasing push towards an antitrust investigation around Facebook, and that is leaning on the share. It was down $7 in here today, and it is coming back towards the region of the trend mean. When we certainly look at the chair, it had been trending higher in a beautifully consistent manner all the way through until the middle of last year, and we had a massive downside key reversal. Since then, it has failed to sustain a move above the 200 level. We've had a much broader range that has lasted for quite a long time. Well, if we start thinking about the ranging time and size characteristics of a Type 3 top, well, if this is just a consolidation, then we're going to have to see some evidence that demand is returning to dominance in here. In the absence of that, a move back below the trend mean would represent an extension at the minimum of this ranging environment that has prevailed for much of the last year, and it does represent a risk in here. Then we have the outlook for Amazon. It also trended beautifully higher from 2015 through to the middle of 2018, then pulled back extremely violently. That was the biggest pullback we'd seen in years, both in terms of price and percentage. Then it got right up to test the peak again in the middle of this year, and it has been pulling back since. Now it is below the trend mean and encountering resistance at this level. One thing that I will say is Mrs. Tracy's business is what we I think laughingly refer to as the Tracy family indicator. And this month, unless there is a substantial uptick in sales in the last 9 days of the month, could be below October of last year. And that would be the first year-over-year decline in sales in at least 3 years. And that's no real change in the business. No new products have been added. And a number of the products that are being sold are Amazon's choice. So that does suggest that the consumer is starting to pull back, or at least is moderating their spending power. Obviously, Amazon is a major company, but it's also a major company in terms of the way that people have been engaging with this market, and it needs to hold that $1,700 area, or we're going to be in a much deeper period of consolidation. But the bigger picture, of course, is that the trend accelerated. It pulled back very violently, and now we're in this much lengthier period of ranging. Well, it could be a consolidation, but it is also time to start thinking about what an exit strategy might look like. Because the one thing about buying the dips is that it works fantastically well for the duration of a bull market. But then when it stops working, it's going to be the worst possible strategy, rather than the best possible strategy. And it is that change is something that we need to be alert to. And the consistency of the trend has definitely sustained some damage over the course of the last year and a half. So when we then think about what's going on in terms of the major indices, well, the Nasdaq is right in the region of its peak, and this does look like a bullish consolidation, and it does look like the most likely scenario is we're going to get a push on the upside. But of course, we're going to have to see that. We're going to have to see a sustained move above 8,000 in order to confirm a return to demand dominance and a clear catalyst to try and suck some of the cash in off the sidelines. Something that did occur to me today, I thought this was a rather interesting graphic, and it was that when we look at what are considered to be the most crowded trades by hedge funds, well, long US Treasuries is certainly one of them, and long those FANG shares has been another. And we can see that this is being ordered. For example, it's going back over time. So how much it was a big trade to be long in August of 2018 of the FANG shares. The most overcrowded trade right now is long US Treasuries. But the one thing that sticks out to me is that if we look at all of these, even we had here back in September of 2017, it was long Bitcoin, long Nasdaq, long quality for quite a long time in 2016. But the one thing that does not pop up at all is long gold. long gold is not an overcrowded trade. And it hasn't been an overcrowded trade for a long time, for the simple reason that the price went sideways for the better part of 6 years. This remains, I think, an underappreciated market. When we get these impressive breakouts from well-defined trading ranges, it's generally an indication that we're back in a new bull market environment. It's quite normal that following a breakout, we get a first step above the base. And it does look like this is exactly that, a first step above the base. The price has now unwound a good part of its overextension relative to the trend mean, but the upper side of the base is $1,400. And it suggests that there is still potential that we could have some additional ranging going on here, but that as long as it is holding the breakout, then we can conclude that we're back in a new bull market environment. This is really rather similar to what we saw all the way back in the period between 1999 and 2002. Back then we had the big pop on the upside following the Bank of England sale of gold. Subsequently, the price went sideways for about 2.5 years, and then it broke out. And immediately after that breakout, it gave up almost the entire advance, before subsequently multiplying by 5 times. And we have just seen that the market went sideways for 2.5 years following the big pop on the upside in 2016, and it's just broken out by almost exactly the same amount as it did back in 2002. Well, what that suggests is that there is the risk that we're going to get some additional consolidation here, and I think that would be rather normal. But if we look at what's going on out there in the world with the rise in social unrest all over the world, with geopolitical tensions rising, and then, of course, with political activism and this focus on inequality rather than equality of opportunity, these are really rather significant factors which are likely to be responded to in terms of looser fiscal policy and looser monetary policy, then that is a tailwind for precious metals. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.